AFP Audio is today talking to Michael Gordon, who's a consultant psychiatrist at Monash Health and senior lecturer at Monash University. Hi, Michael.
G'day. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks. So, Michael's written an article in the September 2013 edition of Australian Family Physician on selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, a review of the side effects in adolescence. And the article starts by making the point that most research into SSRIs has been in adults. However, adolescents are developmentally different. What does this article focus on in particular?
This article focuses on both non-psychiatric side effects, so physical side effects like headache and nausea, which are very common, other physical side effects which are less common, like sweating and flushing, as well as important psychiatric side effects. We know that adolescents are developmentally different from the psyche as well as their biology to adults, and therefore their side effect profile will be different, hence why we need to report on them separately.
Okay. And so the sort of particular focus is not on appropriate prescribing or any of those things. It's particularly looking at the side effects, and Table 1 gives us a bit of an overview of the range of them. But what we might start by chatting about is the non-psychiatric side effects, a few of which you mentioned. What are some of the more common ones, and how frequently do they occur?
Up to about 60% of adolescents, from what we know from depression and anxiety studies, will get non-psychiatric side effects. Mind you, the discontinuation rate where people stop the medication because of side effects is only about 5 or 10%. So the common ones that you'll see are headache and nausea. Sometimes it will progress to a bit more like vomiting, tummy pain. We know that serotonin receptors on the smooth bowel, smooth muscle of the bowel, and therefore can cause bloating and abdominal pain and changes to bowel habit and dry mouth and discontinuation syndrome. Some of the kids will get sweaty, so they either through the night they'll find that they're throwing off the blankets. They may even sort of, in the more severe end, drench their pyjamas, have to change. It can be a bit more of a concern. Flushing, more of a worry perhaps in summer where they need to make sure the fluids are up. There can be weight changes, perhaps weight loss or weight gain, but often more weight gain. I think adolescent girls tend to get more of these than adolescent boys. We tend to not ask about sexual side effects, but it's very important because we know that they do occur, and certainly from adult studies they're high rates, so things to be thinking about.
Yep. And so that was sort of an overview of some of the non-psychiatric side effects. What are some of the psychiatric side effects that you might be seeing?
I think it's a really important point because adolescents get more psychiatric side effects that are concerned, like suicidal thoughts and behaviours. And there's been a number of studies over the last 10 years looking at this. The difficulty in studying this area is that, well, suicide, fortunately, is rare, 1 in 10,000. So, therefore, studying this rare event is difficult. What we know from studies going back to 2003 are that adolescents have suicidal thoughts and behaviours around 4% versus 2% on placebo. So twice the rate of placebo, adolescents have thoughts and behaviours when we pull all the studies going back a number of years. So it tells us to be vigilant about asking and inquiring and monitoring. So some of the adolescents will get activated, a small number, but just to be watching out for that, and it's an important thing to look for. Other side effects to think about, which you also see in adults, is mania and hypomania, what we call manic switching. So antidepressants can actually have somebody going from a depressed state to an elevated state. It's usually when there's a family history of depression, usually when the depression is more severe, particularly if it's a psychotic depression. But some people can be more vulnerable, and it will only become evident once they've actually started the medication. Adolescents can also be hyped up, so they can have agitation. Some will get some akathisia, so restlessness, akathisia being, you know, either through the body where they get restless legs or restless in their thoughts, which can be quite nasty for some, and you need to be thinking about stopping it where it occurs. It doesn't settle down easily. Increased anxiety for some, and for a number, worsening of depression.
Yep.
Would be the main ones.
Okay. And so then we've talked about side effects. Are there other reactions or interactions with medications that can be a particular issue?
I think the ones to think about, they're rare, but they're really important. Unfortunately, the rare ones can be the nastier ones. Serotonin syndrome. Now, it's really something just to watch out for as a drug-to-drug interaction, where a drug that elevates serotonin levels in the body can interact with another drug that increases serotonin levels in the body to produce what's called serotonin syndrome or serotonin storm. It's really well described. And basically, you see when you have two antidepressants being co-prescribed in a patient where there hasn't been an adequate washout period with the first antidepressants at a long half-life, or some other drugs, the common ones being tramadol, commonly prescribed painkiller, dextromethorphan over-the-counter, cough suppressant. There are only a handful of medications, just to be careful, because certain syndrome is potentially a lethal condition and requires an acute stopping of the medication and medical intervention. Other things to think about in people who have seizures, it can lower the seizure threshold. Or, it's a small thing to consider, but it that does occur. So people with epilepsy need to be particularly careful about that.
Yep. And withdrawing from medications can be a challenging time. What do we know about withdrawal reactions?
They've been really well described discontinuation syndrome. So when you're on serotonin, particularly at the higher doses, if you stop the medication suddenly, and adolescents unfortunately go away on camp and forget their medications, they go and stay over at a friend's place, and particularly those drugs with short half-lives like sertraline and fluvoxamine, they tend to sort of withdraw off a bit less so with those with a longer half-life like fluoxetine. But then you can get this withdrawal syndrome, which is not dangerous, but they're very unpleasant physical side effects such as dizziness, nausea, vomiting, tiredness, headache, and sleep disturbances. And they occur within usually a couple of days of stopping the SSRI, about two half-lives after you've missed the medication. And what we really advise is that the adolescent tapers the SSRI rather than abrupt cessation, particularly at the higher doses. And for some kids, you need to do it a bit more slowly. They need a more extensive weaning period.
Yep. So, in summary, what are a few key points GPs should remember when they have an adolescent who is taking an SSRI?
Okay. So what we hope that they take out of the article is the class of SSRIs can be shown to increase suicidal and thoughts behaviours in adolescents, again, of the order of twice the risk of placebo, and parents should be warned to look out for these symptoms, and adolescents should be monitored particularly weekly in the early phases, and the prescriber needs to be inquiring about possible side effects. The prescriber should be thinking about risk of manic switching, again, those where the family history or the psychotic depression be alerted for when there's an abrupt change to the state where the person's euphoric, staying up, increased energy, thoughts are racing, any psychotic symptoms. The prescriber should be aware of potential drug interactions when co-prescribing SSRI. And the last point is that there is some evidence that SSRIs may affect growth in a way that we know that stimulants can affect growth, and that we're now advising that prescribers should be doing a baseline weight and height and just monitoring the actual growth of the patient.
Great. Thanks for talking to us today. And I'll remind listeners that the full article can be found in the September 2013 edition of AFP. Thanks.